Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Man, good night. We need to schedule him in the pulpit. That was some good stuff, and I'll tell you more than anything, just the passion for the Lord after having an encounter speaks louder. We could do a sermon prep as long as we want, but it doesn't compare in comparison to have encounter, right, with Jesus. And that's the difference. Whenever you've seen the hand of God and you've encountered his glory, man, that qualifies you for ministry right there. So, John, appreciate you sharing that, and it's just going to be fun to continue to follow the story of God's faithfulness. This morning, we're going to go into one of the other characteristics of God, and we've been talking about the different character of God, and we're going to talk about the majesty of God and the mandate of man. The majesty of God is going to talk about the bigness and the glory of who this God is, and to help introduce this message, I got my daughter Ronnie on video here. Let's hit this video of Ronnie. Got any volume there? Let's start it from the top, Quentin. Yeah, MP3.
You know what I'm going to talk about at church tomorrow? The majesty of God and how big he is. Did you know that the Bible says that God created all of the stars with his finger?
How did he do that?
How did he do that? You know what else it says? He created the sun and the moon and the stars.
The sky?
Yeah, the sky.
Air?
Yep, air.
Us?
Yeah, he created us. What else did he create?
Doors.
Doors.
Animals.
Animals.
Boats.
Boats.
Water.
Water.
Box.
A box.
Box.
Yeah, he created boxes.
He created a house.
Yeah, he created our house.
Created food and water.
Food and water. We love that, don't we?
Forks.
Forks.
Spoons.
And spoons.
Forks. Spoons. Sporks.
Sporks, yeah. He also created the spork, which I think is one of his most unique creations.
He created a potty.
He created the potty.
He created potty water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go too far down that road, so you know what else he said? He said, I've created all this stuff, and you, as people, are supposed to reign and rule over it. You're supposed to have dominion, and you're supposed to have authority, and so God is all powerful, but he let us kind of be partners with him. We're partners, so we get to have authority with God here on the earth. Is that cool?
Yeah, so if you don't have a partner, then you actually do.
If you don't have a partner, then you actually do.
Jesus.
And it's Jesus. Yay, Jesus.
Oh, man. So if you will, flip with me to Psalm chapter 8. If you're using our Bible here, it's page 386. Psalm chapter 8, page 386. It says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you would even care for them. You have made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. My two main points to pull from this morning is John Piper, and he has a message and an article on the peculiar marks of God's majesty, as well as Lou Giglio, who did a lot of research on the sun, the moon, and the stars and our galaxies. And perhaps you've even seen the video of How Great is Our God that Lou Giglio did. And I'm going to share a few of his research. We're not going to go there yet, Quentin. You're revealing the big secret. And if you have seen it, then you're more than welcome to leave right now. Or if you want to go watch it, Lou Giglio does much better. But I'm going to share kind of the research of John Piper and Lou Giglio with us this morning. And what Piper points out here is the name of Yahweh. As the psalm begins here in chapter 8, verse 1, it says that the Lord, our Lord. Anytime you see the word Lord with all capital letters, sometimes it's a lowercase and sometimes it's all capital letters, what that word Lord is pointing to is that God is the self-existing one and that he is the ultimate being. So whenever he says Lord, and actually the term Lord means sovereign owner. So he is the sovereign who owns all of this, and that he was a being that was not created. He was outside of creation. And to get kind of into more of the philosophical ideas is he is the unmoved mover, if you will. Somebody put all of this into motion. And so God spun this creation into motion, and we could trace it back. Well, who did it? And as we move it back and we move it back, there was a mover who put all of this in. And he was not moved by any other outward source. Nobody was twisting God's arm. Nobody created God. I was sharing this with Judah this morning, and Judah, earlier this week, he says, yeah, but who created God? And I said, that's the beauty of being God, is you always have been, you always are, and you always will be. He's the self-existing one. In order for him to remain existing, he needs nothing. He is. And so Lord sums it up. So whenever we say the word Yahweh, and this comes from the passage of Scripture in Exodus where Moses has this encounter with the Lord, and he says, who are you? And he says, I am, I am. I am existing. I am this one. And he just refers to his name as Yahweh. I am the Lord. And so as we come here, as David is writing Psalm chapter 8, he starts in verse 1 and he ends in verse 9 with, Lord, your majesty reigns over all of the earth. And we're going to drill down here a little bit deeper. There's not a square inch of all of creation where God does not say, mine. As the sovereign owner of all things, he declares his reign and his rule over it. He is Yahweh, the self-sustaining one. He's great, and he's wise, and he's more beautiful than all things. And in order to defeat his foe, what it says here is that he gives it through the mouths of babes. Fascinating here, passage of Scripture, is that God, in all of his bigness, it says that he executes his reign and rule through infants, seemingly not smart or wise, and the wise one hands it over. And then he says he also fulfills his reign and rule for them to take dominion over it to the weakness of men. I don't know about you, but I don't trust my kids with anything. Ever. Like, hey, Dad, can I do this? And I say, no. And I say, why? And I say, I don't trust you. Period. And God takes all of his beauty and all of his creation, and he hands it seemingly to babies and to the weakness of men, is what Psalm chapter 8 is pointing here to. It says, Yahweh, our master and our king. And in verse 2, we see that babies, what a stark contrast between the bigness and the hugeness and all-powerfulness of God and the words of babies that he puts them to. This marks, I believe, even more so the majesty of God and the fact that he's so good, he can still win by doing it through the weakness of men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God made foolish the wisdom of man by being a fool, by coming in the form of a man. Isn't that fascinating? Or God would confound the wise with the weakness of men, or the strength of men with being weak. It's fascinating that Jesus came both as an infant and as the weakness of man. He executed beautifully the majesty of God to defeat his foe. We go on here to in chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. David describes God's majesty as this creator who makes stars with his finger. It says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are even mindful of him, the son of man, that you would care for him?" I see the point of these two verses is God's infinite bigness in the creation, as well as his care for small, insignificant me and you. I want to go here and show you this clip. Go back, Quentin. Just hang with me here on this first one. Right here. This is the Milky Way galaxy. And we have a Hubble Space Telescope that hovers about 360 miles above the Earth, and it takes fascinating pictures. And this is the Milky Way galaxy. And in order to measure how far the Milky Way galaxy is, the ruler won't work. Even the mile won't work. You've got to travel to go across this Milky Way galaxy in light years, okay? In order to get from one place to the other, you got to travel in light years in order to measure how far this thing is. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. I don't know about you, but planning a trip to Florida for spring break, I'll tell you, it's 1,000 miles. For us with three kids, it takes 4 days to get there. No, it takes 15, 17 hours to get there. Can you imagine traveling 186,000 miles a second? It's moving. This right here, this Milky Way galaxy, it's 31 million light years away. So take 186,000 miles and do that for 31 million years. So many light years it would take for you to get there. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "Let there be light." And when he spoke, light was traveling out of his mouth at 186,000 miles a second as he began to hang the stars in the sky. This Milky Way galaxy contains 300 billion stars inside of it. And if you would try to count all of them, I don't know, it would take as long as it would for me to get from here to Florida with my kids. It would take a long, long time. The Hubble Space Telescope zoomed into the center of the Whirlpool galaxy. And there's a black hole there. And sitting in the center of this black hole, what if I told you that God had written the cross of Christ into creation from the jump? And when they zoomed in, this is what they saw right there. This is the center of the Whirlpool galaxy, is the cross. It's a fascinating mixture of stars and constellations that come together. And it blows my mind to even think, because in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, here's what it says. It says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. That the cross was on his mind. He was cross-minded even from the get. That as he was speaking in Genesis chapter 1, and light was coming into the starry heavens, here was the point of it all, was it all focused on Jesus. In Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal his knowledge. I want to show you what I think is one of the coolest stars, and it's our sun. Here's a picture of our sun right here. On the surface, it's burning at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, just on the surface. What it is just a constant explosion, nuclear bombs going off every second of these burning balls of gas. Anybody remember on The Lion King when Timon and Pumbaa are sitting up looking at the stars? And, you know, one of them, you know, thought it was, I don't know, whatever, you know, dust or something. And the other one says, oh, I thought they were all burning balls of gas. And he's like, you know, Timon, everything with you is gas. And that's what it is. It's just this big ball of gas, of explosive coming off, that's producing the heat that gives us the light of our day. The sun sits 93 million miles away, 93 million miles from here. And it takes light to travel 186,000 miles a second for light to get from the sun 93 million miles away to your skin here in Fairmount, Indiana, 8 minutes. Is that fascinating? For when the sun opens its eyes in the mornings, and I'll tell you, it's not like how we drew it in elementary school with a big smiley face. I mean, this thing is ferocious. This thing is a monster. It's a beast. And it's about, how about this? It's about a million times bigger than Earth. And whenever we compare these things, our minds are going to get blown here in just a little bit. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. God speaks and stars come forth. This is the kind of God that we're dealing with. He's not some Mickey Mouse, small, tiny, little, weak, insignificant God who can't do anything and that he's just handcuffed. No, this is a ferocious God that when he speaks, he wipes his mouth and stars fall out of his lips. This is a guy who this is the kind of God that we're dealing with. He spoke the stars into existence. We could fit 960 Earths inside of our sun. It's about 1,000 times bigger. The gross national product they figured of a country, it would take 7 million years for our local power plant to run the sun for 1 second. That's the kind of energy and power that's coming off of that thing. 7 million years of power to run it for 1 second. Here's a star that I think is going to maybe blow your mind, and it has blown mine. It's Betelgeuse. Some pronounce it as Betelgeuse, and it's just a cooler name to pronounce it as Betelgeuse, so let's just go with that. Betelgeuse, let's go to that one. Here it is, and it's this bright orange kind of a star way, 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 way out there. And whenever you zoom in on it, zoom in here, and we see it's just this explosive burning fire is what it is. Betelgeuse is about 2 times the size of, not the sun, it's 2 times the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. Anybody's mind's getting a little blown on the bigness of who this God is that we're messing with? He has created some pretty amazing things. Whenever you look at the expanse of all of creation, some people think, well, man, this is a little excessive that God would create all of this stuff only for one planet to have life on it. Surely there's other places for life to have, for planets to have life. Wouldn't you think that this is just a little excessive, right? And it would be if you're looking at it from our perspective. But looking at it from the glory of God, and for him just to be able to have the graffiti of his heart spill out on all of creation, I think that the galaxies are probably a little small, that we're able to capture the brilliance of the maker of who we're dealing with in creation. Here's some stats from Betelgeuse. You could fit 262 trillion Earths inside of Betelgeuse. If the Earth were a golf ball. This is the illustration that Lou Giglio uses. He says, if the earth were a golf ball, I've got one of these right here that I have no idea how it works. This thing is fascinating to me. I can't ever figure it out. This summer, Coach, you're gonna lock in on me. He says, if the earth were a golf ball, you could fill up Lucas Oil Stadium with golf balls 3,000 times. What? I can't even imagine filling up this sanctuary once. Imagine filling up Lucas Oil 3,000 times. That's how many earths you can fit inside of Beetlejuice. I'll tell you what this has done for my encounter. Even as I approach the Lord, Alyssa's singing this song this morning, and you know, as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are made. And if you have created these stars to worship you, then who am I? I will too. I'll continue to sing. And I get kind of squeezed into the smallness of who I am and the bigness of God. And it's like we right-size God once again. I'm afraid that perhaps in America our gospel has become so man-centered and my problems and God didn't do this. And I'll tell you, even as I pray to God, I love to counsel God. God, let me tell you how you should handle this one. Anybody? Just me? Y'all are staring at me like I'm from Mars. Hey, God, here's how you ought to do it. God, this was unfair. I don't like this. Let me counsel you on this one. And what happens is I just get overwhelmed by his bigness and almost insignificant. And my goal this morning is not to make you feel insignificant, but maybe a little bit to check a reality check and perspective of who this God is that we're working with here. Just to kind of show you in comparison, Quentin, go ahead and hit that video here, but this will show you as the earth is compared to other stars around. Look at Jupiter. We're not even the big dog in our own solar system. This is fascinating. And as you go, there's Pollux, as you go to other ones, you can't even hardly even see our sun anymore. As big as our sun is, it just gets totally wiped away, Regal, and it moves on and on. And here's my goal this morning, is for us to feel small in the bigness of our God. Job, he's kind of frustrated as Job is going through some hardships in life. Y'all remember the story of Job. And Job gets all of his life wiped out. Job's got 10 kids, and all 10 kids are gone. He's got so many flocks of sheep and herds and cattle and barns and all of this stuff. Job was just the successful man of his day. And he's coming in, and he's asking God, and he says, God, why won't you deliver me? And why won't you help me here? And why won't you bring vengeance for your name? And God asked Job a string of questions. He says, where were you whenever I created? Where were you whenever I did? And he takes Job outside. It's a fascinating passage of scripture. And he says, Job, this is in Job chapter 38. He says, Job, can you hold Pleiades in your hand? And can you unfasten Orion's belt? These names of our constellations were going on way back in the day, even back to Job in the Bible. We're talking thousands of years ago. But he talks about Orion's belt. And then God says, are you the one who leads out the bear with her cubs in the starry hosts? Y'all know the bear constellation? Whenever I was at Liberty Elementary, RIP Liberty, man, I'm still hurting from that one, but I don't know. But anyway, we would get into the big tent and they would turn off all the lights and they would show that projector. Anybody else do that? And, you know, and that's usually when you try to hold the hand of the person next to you or whatever. And you're looking at the stars and the sky and you're like, oh my gosh, and we're checking all this stuff out. I remember seeing Orion's belt and I would go outside and look at this and Pleiades and you would see the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and all that crazy stuff. And the bear and his cubs. And God says, who are you to talk to me, Job, like this? Let me remind you who I am. And he asks him, can you do all of this? Have you done this? Can you hold Pleiades in your hand? Here's a picture of Pleiades. And Job looks up and he says, no, I can't. And I'm humbled. And Job hits the deck. For me, when I look at the majesty and the grandeur of a God like this, I kind of want to stop pointing the finger and just hit the deck in repentance. Here's what happens many times is my sin makes me a little too big and it shrinks the glory of God. When I no longer delight in the bigness of God and the majesty of God and the glory of all creation, when my mind is so focused and from navel gazing at my own circumstances and I didn't this and I didn't get a fair shake and I didn't get a head start in life and I could have been them, but I wasn't. You don't know who your God is and what he can do with you in your life. I'll tell you, it has just suffocated the complaining out of my life and just said, man, God, I want to worship you. I want to refocus my life on you. You are the one thing. It's not about me. I got to get refocused here. And whenever I find my little existence on that tiny little golf ball compared to the bigness of God, I gain perspective real quick. God is inviting us into his bigness and into his glory and into his majesty. Come on out of your blame shifting. Come on out of your victimness and enter into the glories of who this God is. Pleiades, it's about 440 light years away from us. It is this monster of a constellation, and God takes Job to task on that. And yet, in the midst of all of these big things, God says, I delight in you, and I've redeemed you, and I've saved you, and not only that, but I've made you in the same image and likeness as me. You're made like me. The Bible says that we were created just a little lower than angels. There's another translation that says we were created just a little above the angels. We're on par with the glorious celestial beings here, y'all, and we're made like this God, and we live so far less than being like him. I would rather be like my neighbor. I would rather be like the Joneses. I would rather try to keep up with the Kardashians. I don't know, maybe not. I would rather compare myself amongst myself rather than seeing who I was supposed to be created like. There's something far higher, people, and we've got to raise our vision. In Psalm, whenever David is overwhelmed, he says, I feel like life is overwhelming me. My enemies are upon me. He says, I will look my eyes to the sky where my help comes from. He says, I got to get my eyes fixed on this crazy creator, God. Whatever you're going through, can we stop looking at all of that and start getting our eyes fixed on the one who can solve all of the problems, the God who's bigger than all of the sickness in our life. And not only did he create you like him, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then here's what David says in verse 4, 5, 6-ish, you've got it in front of you. He says, as I look at all this stuff, he goes, and what is man that you are mindful of him? And then he says, and God has put all of this under man's feet to reign and to rule underneath. And so what Piper would contend for us to think is, he said that you've made us to be like you and to dream with you and to reign and rule with you, and that God has put, as he says here, his sheep and his oxen, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, for man to reign and rule, that he's called us to be partners with him in life. I'll tell you, sometimes we just got to reign and rule over our own alarm clocks, especially on a spring forward morning. We got to reign and rule over our own attitudes with our boss or our coworkers. We got to reign and rule over different relationships. How are we ever going to reign over galaxies? And I just wonder if maybe God is painting a picture. It's a prophetic picture of the already but not yet, that we got dominion with him, right? He's already come, but not in the fullness of who he is or what he's going to do. And I'll just tell you, God's inviting you for more. There is the majesty of God, but there's the mandate of man. And we're called to be like this God, and he's inviting us in to more. And so What are those places where you're saying, you know what, I've been getting tripped up over this silly stuff of life, so easily entangled by just the little stuff, when I am called to soar? I gotta go, man. It's time to bust through. And so this morning, here's the call. It's God saying, come on, it's not that you're just mere men. It's that you've been made like me, and I'm mindful of you, and I paid it all for you. I gave my best to redeem and to sanctify you so that you can look more and more like my son. He's calling us, and he's inviting us in. As we wrap here this morning, I just want to kind of have maybe just a little pause in our own service, just for you to say, God, I've been struggling with this. I am tripped up in this sin, and I cannot bust free. And you are a God who reigns and rules over all of creation. Or maybe, God, I've got this sickness that I've been going through, and I've got this disease, and God, I know that you reign over all things. And what is this little virus that you could not just completely destroy it? Since you are the self-existing one, can you cause something to stop existing? Like this sickness in my body. I don't know, whatever it is, or this loneliness, or this lack of purpose. Can you just mark me again? And to be marked with the majesty of God all over you again. Church, would you just stand with me, and I'll pray for us as we wrap. Jesus, we just come before you, and I just agree with John as he says that who are we to just to battle in this wrestle by ourselves when we've got the God of all creation in our corner? And as if you needed permission to be tagged in, God, you're in. And you come in and run the show and reign and rule in our life and invite us into the next level and show us the bigness of who you are and let us get a taste of your glory. What is man? And yet you love him and you've died for him. You've died for us. And so, church, I just pray that those old ways of sin would be busted off of our lives, that those shackles of bondage would we be broken free, those old addictions would have no foothold in our life anymore, that old broken mindset that we keep dealing with we'd be set free from by the power of this God, crazy, wild creator God. God, redeem our minds. Set us free in our minds to think like you think, to be overcomers in life, and to rule over your creation like you've called us to do. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this house in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.